welcome back to 10-4 on Channel 9. My name is Drew Robbins, and this is Episode 5, named Code Focused in Visual Studio 2010. In this episode, we're going to be looking at the new code editor in Visual Studio. We're going to be looking at several different areas. One is code navigation that allows us to move around our files and classes and various items in the Solution Explorer a little bit quicker. The second area we'll look at is how Visual Studio enables test-driven development. And then finally, we'll look at how we can extend the new code editor with our own extensions and functionality. In these demos, I will be using the Visual Studio 2010 CTP that you can go and download today, so you'll be able to go through these same exercises. I do encourage you to go back and look at the first episode where Brian Keller outlines how to download the Visual Studio 2000 CTP and work around some of the activation issues within the CTP itself. So go ahead and look at episode 1, download it, and then you'll be able to go through some of these same exercises. Let's go ahead and get started looking at the new code editor in Visual Studio. Okay, so let's take a look at the new code navigation features in Visual Studio 2010. What I have open on my desktop is Visual Studio 2010, and I have loaded into Visual Studio is the Managed Extensibility Framework from CodePlex.com. This is the actual source for Managed Extensibility Framework that will go into the .NET Framework 4, and it gives us some reasonable complexity to show off the code navigation. So let's first open up X-File Explorer and the content view and look at highlight references. What highlight references allows us to do is to select a identifier in our code and see where it is being used in other places in the code file. So by selecting that, we now have highlighted all of the other uses of that. Another thing we can use this for is we can select another identifier, and we can actually use Control Shift up arrow and down arrow to navigate between different references to that particular identifier. So here I am navigating between the various uses of navigation. Okay, so that gives us one way that we can navigate through code. Another way that we can navigate through code is through what's called the view call hierarchy. So let's switch over to app.cs and scroll down to the compose method. Inside the compose method, we see we're instantiating a composition container from the Managed Extensibility Framework. And what we want to do is take a closer look at one method and where else we're calling that method in our code. So we're going to right-click and select View Call Hierarchy. And inside View Call Hierarchy, we have the ability to expand that particular method. And we can look at calls to that method or calls from that method. We'll look at calls to, and we see that we call that method twice within our solution. If we don't want all of the solution to be shown, we can scope this to the current project. Refresh that, expand again, and we see it only shows what's in the project. Let's go back to solution, expand this, and now let's take a look at the compose method itself. What other things are we doing within the compose method? And so what we'll do is we'll expand calls from the compose method in this case and see all of the various calls that we're making from compose. Now another thing that we can do is highlight a particular node in this tree, and on the right side of the dialog what we see is all of the call sites. And this gives us the ability to see where in the code we're actually calling that method, and we can double click on one of these places and actually go to that point in the code, and you can see those two different call sites right there within the file. So that's the view call hierarchy. It gives us a great way to kind of navigate around code. The last way that we can navigate around code is with a new feature called Quick Search. You might have noticed in the solution that there's quite a bit of projects as well as quite a bit of files that are included in the solution. So if I'm trying to find a class or file, it becomes cumbersome to click around and scroll and try to locate a particular file that includes the class I'm looking for. So what Quick Search allows me to do is to hit Control Comma to bring up the Quick Search dialog and to start to type something. For example, if I'm looking for Meftris, I'll type a part of the Meftris name. And that will bring up the classes and the files and the interfaces that match that substring. So here I can double click on one of these and I can go directly to a particular, say, class file. So I can also look at camel case as part of the way to search for classes. So if I'm looking for a composable part catalog, I can start to type CPC instead of typing in the actual name of the class. And so that gives me a quick way, again, to jump between classes. So I type CPC, I can scroll down, and I can find the composable part catalog. Another thing that I can do for a shortened form is to actually type just part of the elements within the camel casing. So for example, composition container, I can type ComCon, and that will bring up all the things that match that, again, using that camel casing as delimiters between the various words. And I'm able to quickly go to composition container. So all of these features make it a lot easier for us as developers within Visual Studio to move around our code and make the development process just that much easier. Visual Studio 2010 and the .NET Framework 4 contain several features that make test-driven development easier. We're going to look at one particular feature within the code editor that allows us to generate classes from our tests. We're going to do that by implementing a simple stat class, and we're going to do that using test-driven development. What I have open inside Visual Studio is a simple data structure solution that has two different projects, one for our class and one for our tests. Of course, we're going to create our tests first, so let's open up the simple stat test class. Inside this class, what we're going to do is first rename it in order to define a context, and that context will be when a stack is created. So that's the context that we'll create these tests within. So let's add a test method. And so we'll do that by adding the test method attribute. And then we will define that method. And that will be, then it should be empty. Because when a stack is created, of course, it should be empty. So let's new up a simple stack class. And we'll call this object the stack. New it up, and then what we'll do is we'll have an assert, and that assert will be isTrue on a property called the stack.isEmpty. So we'll add this property called isEmpty. And what we'll notice now is that the design time compiler tells us that there's a compile error, that simple stack does not exist. And so what we can do is hit control period, and control period will bring up a smart tag dialog that allows us to either generate class for simple stack just using the default settings, or we can say generate other and provide our own settings. Generate other brings up a dialog that allows us to change things like the access type or the kind of thing that we're generating. We can also change the location. We'll use simple data structures project. And when we click OK, Visual Studio will generate our class. Now the next thing is that we notice there's another compile error. IsEmpty does not exist. So let's go ahead and generate IsEmpty. So now let's go look at what was generated. And the first thing we'll notice is that the return type for IsEmpty actually is incorrect. And that's an issue with the CTP. Normally what should happen is it should sense the type that we're looking for and use that type when it generates. So what we'll do is just correct that now. And once that's corrected, let's switch back to our test using quick search. And let's right click on it and run the test. So that will just take a few seconds to compile and actually execute the test. And what we'll see is that the test failed, and that is because true was not returned from IsEmpty. False was returned. So let's go and fix that. And the easiest thing to do right now is to just return true. And so we'll do that in test-driven fashion. Let's switch back to our test now. And we'll right-click and run this test. And we see now that it passes. Okay, so we know we don't have a real implementation here, so let's continue to add some tests. And the next test method that we'll add is a test for when a stack is created, then should be able to push an item onto the stack. So what we'll do is we'll new up simple stack again. And then let's actually do the push. So we'll call a method that we'll define called push, and we'll add an integer. And then we get that compile time error. Let's generate this method. Okay, so let's run our test, and we'll see that it fails, and the reason it fails is because we got a not implemented exception. So let's go and fix that to get this test passing again. And we'll just remove that not implemented exception. That's the easiest way to get the test to pass right now. We'll go back, let's rerun the test, and we'll see that the test should pass now. Yes, it does. Let's add a little bit more to the test because we should be able to assert that is empty is false now. So let's do assert that is false. The stack dot is empty is the property. Now we'll rerun this test, and of course it's going to fail because we return true from is empty. Let's go now and fix this to get these tests to pass again. So let's go do a little bit of implementation. We'll add an array list, and we'll bring in the the system collections namespace, and we'll just call this underscore list, and we'll new it up. And then for the is empty implementation, let's compare the count to zero. And then for the push implementation, we'll just add whatever was provided, P, onto the list. So let's go back now to our tests, and let's go ahead and this time go to the test view, and what we'll do is let's select them all, and then we'll run all the tests. And now what we should do is we should have two passing tests. So this feature makes it a little bit easier to do test-driven development within Visual Studio. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to look at how we can extend and add functionality to the code editor itself. The new code editor in Visual Studio 2010 is based on Windows Presentation Foundation. And what that means is we're going to be able to do some pretty nifty code visualizations within the code editor itself. It also means that third parties and the community could also come along and add extensions to the code editor using some commonly known skills with Windows Presentation Foundation. Another important part of the code editor is that the extensions are loaded using the new Managed Extensibility Framework that's in the .NET Framework 4. This makes creating extensions for Visual Studio a lot easier. No longer are you required to go through a pretty difficult registration process or have to have the vSIP package on your machine. So what we're going to do is add a piano keys adornment to the code editor. And what that's going to do is every other line within the editor will have a highlight just to make it a little bit easier to see our code. And so what we have here is a piano keys adornment solution, and we're going to open up the piano keys factory. And the first thing we'll notice is that there's a using statement here that brings in the Managed Extensibility Framework. Down in the piano keys factory, we have a couple exports. One export is the adornment layer definition. That's going to define a new layer within the code editor that will be called piano keys. And so we've got a attribute here called name, and that is being defined as piano keys. The next thing that was going to be exported is a text view service, which is going to allow our piano keys adornment to interact with the text view that's part of the editor. So let's go look at the definition for that that particular piano keys adornment. Within the constructor, what we're doing is defining a couple of things, and one of those is the solid color brush. And so this is the color that we are defining for the highlights that will go on every other line within the editor. And then we have a couple other events that are defined as well. Let's scroll down to the refresh method, which is really the where everything actually happens. Inside the refresh method, what we're doing is we're going to iterate through each line that is provided to the method. And if the line has a line number that is odd, what we're going to do is highlight that line. And so we'll use WPF to create a rectangle. We'll define the height and width of that rectangle based on some information we get from the code editor. And then we'll assign the brush for that particular rectangle. We'll set the location within the canvas. And then finally, what we'll do is we'll call add adornment in order to add that WPF element to the code editor service using the piano keys layer that we defined earlier. So let's go ahead and build the solution and close Visual Studio. And now, how do we get this particular extension to load within Visual Studio? Well, the first thing is we need to add this extension to a directory under Visual Studio 10, Common 7, IDE, Components. And what we notice in this directory is all of the code editor extensions are already there, including some of the language service extensions. So all we need to do in order to configure our extension is drag and drop that assembly that we built into the components directory. Now if we relaunch Visual Studio, it'll take just a second to come back up. And then we'll open up a file. We'll just open up the simple stack file we used in the last demo. What we'll see is that our new piano keys adornment is now loaded into the editor, just like that. And every other line of code is now highlighted using the color that we had defined. So it's that easy to add new code editor extensions to Visual Studio 2010. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the community comes up with enhancements for the Visual Studio 2010 code editor. Okay, so in this episode we saw several different things. The first area was code navigation. In that section I used a project called Managed Extensibility Framework, which is available on codeplex.com. I've provided a link here if you'd like to go and download that project and take a deeper look at it. In the second area, we talked about test-driven development, and I used an example called Simple Stack. That example was actually pulled from a hands-on lab that's in our Visual Studio 2010 training kit. I provided a link here to that training kit so you can download that, find that lab, and continue to look at how Simple Stack is implemented using TDD. Finally, we looked at how you can create extensions for the code editor. And if you'd like to look at some more extensions, there are actually quite a few in the Visual Studio 2010 CTP. There are walkthroughs or CTP walkthroughs in the VPC that you download. Take a look at those walkthroughs and you'll find those extensions. So that's it for this episode of 10.4. Continue to check back every week for new episodes. You can go out to Channel 9 and subscribe to the show, and then you'll get alerts in your RSS aggregator each time we publish a new show. There's also an email address here for you to provide feedback if you have comments on the show. Either put them in the show comments on Channel 9 or send us an email, and we'd love to have that feedback. So until next week, have a great time looking at Visual Studio 2010. Over and out.